Tradition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection, and today we are going to finish Luke chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, I want to ask you to take it. Let's look together at verses 36 to 39. Again, that's Luke chapter 5, verses 36 to 39. Here's what the scriptures say. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new garment agreeth not with the old. No man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. Now, when we come to this passage, we need to recognize Jesus is speaking in parables. In fact, he's going to give two parables in this passage, and they're meant to talk about something that I think is a huge theme in the Bible, and that is this issue of covenants. In fact, when we pick up our Bibles and we open up our Bibles, we see that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And someone might say, well, what does this mean by Old Testament, New Testament? Well, the word testament is a word that can be used interchangeably with the word covenant. And so when we read the Bible, we see that there are several covenants that God made with people, individuals, or with nations, like the nation of Israel, throughout the Bible. And these covenants to study throughout the Bible. We see that God entered into covenant with Abraham. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. We see that God entered into covenant with David. We call it the Davidic covenant. Or with Moses and the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai, we call it the Mosaic covenant. Well, we also see that throughout the Old Testament, there are times that God, through the prophets, would promise that there was going to be a day that he would establish a new covenant. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the concept of the new covenant. And this is a theme that really is rich. There's so much that we could talk about here. But really, Jesus is just going to give a couple of very simple illustrations to help us to understand how people who were living at the time of Christ, particularly Jewish people, were going to relate to this new covenant that God was going to establish with his people. A covenant that would replace the old, a covenant that was far better than the old, and a covenant that was anticipated all throughout the old covenant. So first of all, let's get a summary statement, then we're going to get into some of these details. Christ's garment and wineskin parables were meant to show that the Mosaic covenant and the new covenant could not be integrated, and that God would replace the Mosaic covenant, and when he did, it would be resisted by the Jews. I want to kind of start out with this first section dealing with the two parables that Jesus gives and how they are pictures of two covenants. In verses 36 to 38, it says, "He spake also a parable unto them, saying that no man putteth a piece of a new garment and an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled. The bottles shall perish, but new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved." Now, there are two simple illustrations, and the people that were hearing these parables would have understood what he was talking about. The first example is a person has an old garment, and the garment gets a tear in it. And so if you want to fix that garment, one of the things that you could do is you could take a piece of cloth, and you could sew that piece of cloth into the tear of the old garment. Well, basically what Jesus is saying is if you take a new garment that hasn't been washed, it hasn't shrunk, it has a different elasticity than the old garment, and you sew that new piece into the new, and then you wash it, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is that it's going to shrink, and as it shrinks, eventually it's going to tear. And so he said, if you're going to patch something, you can't put a new cloth on an old garment, or it's going to eventually tear the old garment. He then gives a second illustration, and that's the illustration of juice. The word wine here is used, but it's the fruit of the vine. Now, when he uses the term bottles, I don't want you to think of a glass bottle like you might buy something in the store from here. We're talking about something that's like a wineskin. It's basically, it's a bottle that's been made out of the skin of an animal, and this is something that would be a little bit elastic. It could stretch, and if it's old, it's not going to be elastic anymore. It's not going to be able to stretch anymore. But if it's new, it's going to have that elasticity. Basically, what Jesus is saying is that if you have an old bottle that has lost its elasticity and you put new juice in it, what's going to happen is that juice, if it begins to age and that fermentation process starts just a little bit, there's going to be a stretching. And when it tries to stretch, it's going to break. So basically what he says is that you have to put new wine, new juice into new bottles, because if that process begins at all, it's going to be able to stretch. It'll have that elasticity. Well, the point that Jesus is making is that you don't take something new and put it into something old without there being a problem. And you say, well, why is he saying that to the Jewish people? The reason that he's saying that to the Jewish people is because they have been resistant to the nature of his ministry. They're comparing his ministry to John's ministry, his ministry to the Pharisees' ministry. And they're saying, you know, John's disciples, they live this ascetic life. They're very rigid. They're praying and they're fasting. And yours are just fellowshipping with you and they're enjoying life. And the Pharisees live this rigid righteous life. And your disciples don't seem to be doing that. We don't understand. Well, Jesus is trying to help these people to understand that the reason that his disciples are celebrating is because he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And so his presence is something that is a glorious thing, and the people should fellowship with him and enjoy him. And that's something that he was trying to emphasize. But now what he's doing is he's transitioning from the fact that they are rejecting his ministry because it's different than John's or different than the Pharisees. And he's saying, by the way, my ministry is ultimately going to be the hinge between two covenants that are going to be radically different in many ways. The old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, is going to be entirely replaced with the new covenant. The old covenant was a Jewish-oriented covenant with a nation, with a Mosaic law that they were responsible to obey. And the new covenant is going to be a covenant established with Jews and Gentiles. It's on the basis of grace rather than on the basis of obedience to the Mosaic law. And so these two covenants are going to be different, startlingly different. And so if you try to blend those two, it's just as impossible as putting new wine in old wineskins and trying to take an old garment and trying to mend it with a new patch. Jesus is saying that you can't blend these two covenants. The old is going to be entirely replaced with the new. And the old was anticipating the new. And this is something that the folks living in the Old Testament time period, those Jews, should have understood. When the new covenant is established, it's not like God has all of a sudden changed his mind, but the old was always pointing to the new. And that was something that they should have understood. Well, then we come to a second part. And this is really kind of his point. The Jews were going to resist this new covenant, which was a better covenant, which was the covenant that was being anticipated all throughout the Old Testament. In other words, all of the Jewish sacrificial system that was pointing to Christ was going to stop because Christ had already come. And so Jesus is emphasizing the fact that when the new covenant replaces the old, the people aren't going to like it. In verse 39, it says, "No man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better." He says, that's who you are. You're a group of people who are going to be resistant to this new and glorious message of a covenant that is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And it's a secured position. So you might ask the question, I don't know that I understand this whole concept of covenant, testament, all these kinds of things. Can you give me a little bit of an explanation where I can see this? Let me give you a couple of passages that you should jot down and go and read and think about, because they really help us to understand that when we read the Bible, we see that God has made these covenant promises with people, individuals, and with nations, the descendants of people like Abraham. And this is an important theme that we need to understand in the Bible. First of all, I want to talk about Matthew chapter 26. It says, as they were eating, this is at the end of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is about to go to the cross. In fact, they're celebrating the Passover, and the Passover was a very special holiday in the Jewish calendar because it was a reminder that God saved his people, delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And as they would eat that Passover lamb, they were reminded that the lamb had died in the place of the firstborn, and that its blood had been shed and had been placed on the doorposts. And because of the death of the Passover lamb, the firstborn would be able to live. Well, as they're celebrating this, Jesus institutes what we call the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. And as they're eating the Passover, Jesus takes a cup and he passes it around, and he takes bread and he breaks it and he passes it around and he says, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink it, you remember me. I want you to see exactly what he says, because he's emphasizing the fact that we are transitioning from the old covenant, the Passover, that pointed to me going to the cross, and now we're going to establish a new sign or remembrance of the new covenant, and that is the Lord's table, because we're looking back at the cross. He says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Basically, what Jesus is showing is that his death on the cross was going to be that pivotal moment that transitioned from old covenant to new covenant. And what's so interesting is that the old covenant entirely is pointing to Christ. It was a covenant that reminded the people often of their sin. Every time they sinned, they had to take a sacrifice to the temple or to the tabernacle. And they would put their hands on that sacrifice, and the animal would die in their place, and its blood would be shed. And they would be reminded that they were sinful people, that they had broken God's covenant. Every single time that they sinned and they gave sacrifice, they were reminded, the animal died because I broke God's covenant. That happened over and over and over again. The Passover lamb died to preserve the life of the firstborn. That was the reminder of the old covenant, a covenant that was focused on the law and how we break the law constantly. Well, when we come to the new covenant, we see that Jesus offers himself once. And when he offers himself once, that becomes that pivotal moment that we look back to, because that one-time offering of himself for our sin established a basis on which our sins could be forgiven, past, present, and future. In other words, the Passover is looking forward to the coming of the Messiah who would die for the sins of mankind. When we celebrate the Lord's table, we look back at the Messiah who died, and now we stand in Christ, forgiven and cleansed and justified because of the work that he did for us. I want you to see this from a couple of passages that kind of really point to the fact that Christ's death on the cross is that pivot point between the old and the new covenant, the old and the new testaments. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. It says, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Not that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Jesus talks about, or the writer of Hebrews talks about how the old covenant was anticipating the coming of Christ. Or in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, it says, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. Or in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and following, it says, Christ being an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctify for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ? He then goes on to say, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, shall purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were in the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I would encourage you to go to Hebrews 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Read those chapters and think about those chapters, because those chapters are basically laying out in great detail what I'm trying to give in summary form this morning. The words of those testaments, the old and the new, are going to hinge, the distinction is going to hinge on the work of Christ. And so when we talk about the Abrahamic covenant, we're talking about this covenant that was unconditional. We talk about the Mosaic covenant, we're talking about a covenant that was conditional. That meant if the people disobeyed, God would judge them. If the people obeyed, God would bless them. And what did they do constantly? They disobeyed over and over and over and over again. And that's why in the book of Galatians, Paul writes that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The point is that the law would show us that we are guilty, and the law would show us that we can't meet the righteous demands of God. And so he must, by his own work on the cross, establish a means for us to be brought into fellowship and communion with him. And that's what the cross is all about. So this new covenant was an unconditional covenant that was rooted in the grace of God, and it was extended through Christ's redemptive work on our behalf. He is the high priest of the new and better tabernacle. He entered in once to obtain eternal redemption. His sacrifice can cleanse our conscience to serve God in a new way. We can actually serve him from the heart, out of love, because we have a relationship by grace. This covenant is based entirely on God's grace, rooted in the redemptive work of Christ alone. And what this does is it puts us in an unshakable position where we are kept by the power of God, because this is a covenant of grace. This is a position we experience by grace. It's because of what Jesus did for us that we can do it. There's a distinction, a difference between the old Mosaic, where the law demands righteousness from us and we violate it, and the new that says Christ, the righteous one, died for us and we are righteous in him. Huge difference. And the service that we have to God is something that flows out of this position rather than driving us into the position. So this morning, as we think about this discussion on the new covenant, the new wine being put in new wineskins, and the garment being mended, a new garment, replacing the old garment that they were trying to mend with a new patch, we're reminded that we have, because of the work of Christ, a far better position than those who lived before the cross. All of those Old Testament saints were saved the same way that we are, by grace alone, through faith alone, in the Messiah and his work. But they were living under a system that was reminding them constantly of their sin and was anticipating the Savior. So as they recognized their sin and they longed for Christ, we look back at the cross and realize he has done it for us. I want to ask you this question. Do you know for certain that you are a child of God and that you are in this covenantal position by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Have you humbly trusted in what Jesus has done for you on the cross? This is a wonderful, wonderful promise that we have in God's word, that we are kept by the power of God because of what Christ has done for us. If this has been an encouragement to you, I hope that you'll share that. Perhaps it can be an encouragement to someone else who you could share that with. Let's go ahead and bow together for a word of prayer, and then, Lord willing, we will continue our study next time. Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk about a very rich topic, one that has so much depth, so much nuance, one that is really very, very sweet for us to consider. We thank you that Christ went to the cross. He died for our sins to establish a relationship between us and yourself that is all rooted in his work. We're thankful for his grace, thankful for his sacrifice, and we're so thankful that we are complete in him. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, hope that you have a great rest of your morning, and Lord willing, we'll meet again next time. Bye now.